what are some of these soon-to-be-obsolete models?
So, for example, very basic, we do a lot of cell culture. Basically, we put the cells on a plate, and you know, we do our certain treatments on it. But it does not reflect your body. Your body is dynamic. You have blood flow, you have gravity pulley on the cells, and you know, you have a lot of interactions. And people are starting to realize that, you know, for example, in drug development, when you're testing drugs on these cells and cell culture, it often does not reflect the actual outcome. So this is where that gap is filling in.
Just imagine for a second I'm 10 years old, which I think parallels probably my understanding of cell science, like the nucleus and the cell walls. How would you explain mechanobiology to me?
You're playing in the playground. You know, you have kids who just stand there and also kids who jump around. So a cell that is on just a plate is the kid that just standing there. He's stagnant. He's not moving or anything. And we can still see the kid and how he functions and everything. But compared to the kid who's jumping and running around, it'll be completely different. His response is going to be sweating. He's going to have increased heartbeat. You will see that there's a difference. And that's where mechanobiology comes in. The difference in the cells when it's under mechanical stimulation.
And what is this stimulation? Is so, this naturally happening?
Yes. So, for example, your heartbeat, you know, it's always pumping, right? It's always beating. That's a mechanical stimulation. Your lungs, it's always expanding and contracting. Your blood is always flowing. So your blood vessels, all the cells in there also feels that force. So it's, like I said, it's a very dynamic environment inside your body. So for scientists, our research must mimic that as closely as possible if we want to have a realistic response from the cells or tissues to either treatments or drug or how we're studying it.
Understanding it as a mechanical force, what do you then do with that?
Once we understand how the cells respond to mechanical forces, we can develop more realistic experiments or models. So, for example, organs on chip. So this is a very big thing right now. So the FDA has started trialing this for future testing of drugs or anything. These organs on chip basically try to mimic this mechanical environment where your cells is. So right now we have, you know, heart on chip, lung on chip.
What does that mean?
So literally we try to make like a lung or a heart on like a small device. And basically it does all that expansion, contraction, and the heart beating as well. So it really replicates what those organs are.
Like a chip, like a microchip.
Yeah, microchip.
Are they literally like lung cells or something that you're putting on there?
Yeah, so now that we know more about, you know, the lungs, for example, lung anatomy, we can, you know, see, you know, different layers of different lung cells so that they can mimic that barrier in the lung. And that way, now that we have a model that mimics these organs, we're able to do drug testing. So, for example, now that we have the basics of a lung on chip, now we're looking at cancers in lung on the chip.
Right.
So we can study it in its more dynamic environment.
So are you, for example, like experimenting by inserting a cancer cell?
Yes. So we're purposely inducing the cancer on this chip, and then we'll look at it.
And what does it look like?
Physically, probably not so much, but on a genetic, on a protein level, so more looking at how its genetic is changing and how is it affecting and spreading. So in terms of visualization, we're looking at how it spreads, how it's causing its harm, you know, how does it get bigger and how does the tumor get so big, essentially.
And what scale are we talking here?
So we're talking at the micron scale. So that's probably like
1/100th of the tip of a human hair.
Pretty much.
That's crazy. I don't know how you can like operate in a scale so tiny.
Yeah, no, like I said, you know, technology has really caught up, and that's why I think mechanobiology is only allowed to emerge now, is because the technology allows us to do these things at such a small scale where previously we couldn't do before.
So you've got your chip, mm-hmm. You've got your faux lung, and you've put on your cancer cell there to see how it interacts.
Yes.
To get to point of looking at innovation in treatment or the next step here, what do you do from that point?
Of course. So the idea is that if we study how cancer spreads, for example, in the lung, then we can detect, you know, the early stages of its invasion of the lung. And from that, we can try to identify markers that the cell sends out or releases into its environment. And therefore, we can try to develop early detection kits. So everyone right now is trying to develop these devices where we can detect cancer, for example, at an early stage so that we can try to treat it earlier and therefore, you know, hopefully cure the disease from the patient.
And so cancer is a massive one.
Absolutely.
Are there any other, I guess, just diseases or disorders that you can also identify in this mechanobiology?
Yes, yes. I mean, obviously everyone, you know, is very big on cancer, and that's, you know, kind of paving the way. But of course, you know, for diabetes and for me, working in the bone area, osteoporosis. And also, I think the idea is, even though, you know, cancer is a big thing, but just even for general health. You know, how's your body performing on a daily basis? It's obviously an area that we want to ultimately reach, you know, because now we have lots of apps that, you know, records, you know, how we're doing each day. So ideally into the future, we want to be able to monitor our, you know, everyday health. And this is a step towards that.
This chip itself, because you want to understand those mechanical forces at work in cells and tissue.
Yep.
What's in this chip? What is this chip made of?
This chip is basically just simply made of biomedical silicon.
Right. And putting it onto this silicon chip as opposed to a petri dish and doing this, why do it this way?
Because of the fluid pump. So on a petri dish, it's just is stagnant. You know, you add the media, you know, which is where cells get their food, I guess. But they just stay idle onto the dish. But with the chip, you're constantly pumping fluid through it. So it's just, it's feeling that fluid flow and also the fluid shear stress. And that's what mimics that mechanical environment.
There's one immunotherapy or one drug that has just been approved.
Yes.
Under the US...
FDA.
Yeah, FDA. So that's showing that there's actual, you know, follow-up from this research.
In terms of immunotherapy, it's not that the drug was developed because of this. It was developed based on the understanding from mechanobiology. So in terms of cancer, you know, what we're doing is trying to actually study how it moves, how it interacts with each other. Because if you think about it, normally when we find out that we have cancer, it's because a tumor has grown to a certain size and we can actually see it. But by that time, it's kind of already too late because your cancer is already spreading through your body. So what we're trying to do is understand how does cancer, you know, it starts off small, you know, one or two cells, but then it grows to this critical mass. So that's kind of the questions that we're looking at. You know, how does cancer feel its environment and what triggers these orders for it to spread out and start to invade? So it's that interaction that we're looking at. So for example, like morning peak hour train rides, crammed in there with a lot of people, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die in here, you know? So that's kind of the feelings that cells get too. They can sense that critical mass, you know, that having so much cells around them, they also want to die as well. But cancer operates differently. So we really want to know how it feels its environment. And from there, we can do more targeted therapies.